Daredevil Tale of King. Henry the Fourth. Henry the Fourth was crowned King of England by the Archbishops of York and Canterbury at Westminster Abbey on September the 30th, 1399. He commenced his reign with solemn determination to govern on constitutional principles, and to this resolve remained steadfast and true for many years. But unfortunately, Henry was dogged by disappointment and disease. He was subject to epileptic fits, which made him cruel, vindictive, suspicious, and irresolute. His reign was one of trouble and commotion. There were incessant rebellions, and more than one treacherous attempt was made on his life. Lawlessness, poverty, and taxation were rife, and to placate the clergy who had supported his claim to the throne, Henry established in England the atrocious foreign custom of burning at the stake all who followed the teachings of John Wycliffe. At the moment, we find Henry the Fourth with his lords discussing the fate of the deposed king, Richard the Second.
My lords, there is another important question to be discussed. I refer to the matter of Richard. I fear me there is a plot afoot to set him on the throne again.
I had not thought, Your Majesty, that poor Richard possessed friends loyal enough to risk their necks in his cause.
My Lord Earl of Northumberland, there are always those opportunists who will risk anything if they think there is a chance of self-aggrandizement.
Zounds, sir! None but a fool would support such a forlorn cause as Richard's.
The Lord Earl forgets, perhaps, that already one attempt has been made to restore him to power.
A mere bubble which we soon pricked.
There are more than bubbles being tossed on the wind that blows from France at this moment.
Thou speakest in riddles, sir.
Then will I speak plain words, my lord. News has been brought me that the Dukes of Burgundy and Bourbon have taken up the cause of Richard's child wife, Isabella.
I always swore there would be trouble when we took that French baggage to wife.
Trouble? Yes, for poor little Isabella, who should still be in her convent, being as she is but 10 years old.
To the blot upon the English crown that Richard should have wed the child.
Ah, 'tis too late to cry wolf when the lamb is dead. But to return to our subject. Richard was born in Bordeaux, as my lords are aware. And the people of that city have a superstitious attachment to Richard, and swear to avenge him. We've had a small example in their raids on our coastal towns. Richard has sworn to serve me loyally and well, but Richard is a liar, a rogue, and a thief.
I could name a greater thief, sire.
Then come ye forth, Owen Glendower, and give voice to his name.
Aye, that I will. Ye ask the name of a greater thief than Richard? Well, hear it then, and hang me for treason later, if ye will. His name is Henry of Lancaster, who thieved the throne of England from Edward Mortimer, the son of the Duke of Clarence.
May thy soul rot, Glendower, this is treason, treason, do you hear?
Nay, 'tis the truth, and methinks the truth nauseates thy stomach, as it does those of thy satellites, who have hopes of rich rewards from thee. Meanwhile, young Edward is forced to sit in his dungeon in Windsor Castle when he should be sitting upon the throne of England.
Have a care, Glendower. Thy words to the king or the words of a traitor?
A traitor? Thou, my Lord Earl of Northumberland, darest to call me a traitor? Thou who art the biggest traitor in the realm. Aye, and there are many of your kind gathered here tonight. Northumberland, Percy, Douglas, Grey, all of you traitors, liars, and thieves. Verily, this is a den of thieves. And Henry of Lancaster and his profligate son, who wears the princely crown of Wales, are the fitting leaders for such a vile band.
By the saints, thy head shall forfeit for this. To the tower, Henry.
I am thy man, thou usurper, who can take me.
Yea, Majesty, but first we must settle the question of Richard, which discussion was so rudely interrupted by the Welshman.
Yes, what's your Richard? I leave his fate in thy hands, my lords.
An it please thee, sire. My lords, 'Twould seem that 'tis dangerous to the peace of the realm for the deposed king to be permitted to mix so freely with his late subjects. Therefore, 'tis our task to remove the danger. Nay, my lord, for 'twould stir the sentiments of the fueling weak-minded ones to whom the fate of an exile is so pathetic.
Perchance stronger methods will be found desirable, my lord.
Nay, my lords, I do not desire the death of my cousin. Then, your majesty and the lords, 'tis my suggestion that we imprison Richard in Pomfret Castle and banish his friends from his presence.
There's no need to, old fox. Behold, the Prince of Wales stands before thee.
My son!
It would seem that thou art displeased with me, my father. And yet, I am but following in the merry footsteps of thy loyal friends and supporters.
Would that thou had never been born.
It would seem that thy noble lords are in accord with thee, my father. And yet, odd Rotham, when they meet me in the taverns...
Give a fool enough rope, and he will make a halter for himself.
Meaning, my father...
That the accusations leveled by Orne Glendower against thee are confirmed by thine own lips. Verily, thou art a rogue, a thief, and a liar.
When thou dares to accuse me of this, rot his soul, I'll run him through. Where is this base-born pig?
I hope to confront thee with him ere the night is done. But if he is not taken ere that, then I fear me thou wilt perforce have to journey to Wales for satisfaction. Yea, and not only satisfaction for personal affront, but for the defense of thy kingdom.
I fear not, Glendower.
Your wine makes of thee a braggart, my son. But hear ye me. Unless Glendower is taken, he will stir the people of Wales to revolt against thee. It will be an easy task, for already they detest the sound of thy infamous name.
Give me an army, and I'll soon subdue the rebel dogs.
Give thee an army? Oh, yea, an army of tin soldiers. For I would not trust the lives of my men in the hands of thee. Nay, never, until thou provest thyself a man instead of a monkey who dances to the tune of thy profligate companions. I'll get thee to thy quarters, for the sight of thee turns me sick with shame. And there, Joanna, where the rebel charge was so furious, where men were slashing each other to bits, where the earth ran red with blood, stood Henry, my son. The royal standard was beaten down, but he raised it again from the bloody mass of dead and dying men and pushed its stick through his girdle, saying, "When the standard falls, so fall I."
May the saints bless him for his courage. My husband, thy heart must be nigh bursting with pride in him.
Aye, that it is, Joan.
'Tis said that he fought so well and our troops were so encouraged by his bravery that they rallied and cut the rebel forces to pieces.
'Tis true, wife. Hotspur was killed, and the rout was so complete that the whole rebellion was struck down by this one blow.
And what of my lord, the Earl of Northumberland?
He surrendered soon after the death of his son.
And Owen Glendower?
Has fled back to his native hills in Wales. I think not he'll trouble us very seriously in future. Oh, but see, my son approaches.
Our son, Henri, my beloved. For I love him as dearly as though I gave birth to him.
Sweet lady, I thank thee for thy gentle words, which I could not help but overhear. I kiss thy hand in homage, as I would the hand of my own dear mother, were she still alive.
I thank thee, Henri, for so great a compliment.
Thou hast done well, my son. Here is my hand in friendship's grasp.
Thank thee, my father. My days of boisterous play and untimely joking are at an end. From now on, I follow the path of duty. The welfare of my country and my people shall always be first with me in thought, word, and deed.